Let's turn in the scriptures to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. And we'll be reading the whole chapter. Exodus 34 and verses 1 through 35. God's people, these are the words of God, so let's give our attention to them. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning. Come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning, and went up unto the Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of the daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee in the time of the month Abib. From the month Abib thou camest out from Egypt. All that openeth the matrix is mine, and every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the 2 tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake with unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. And those are God's words. After reconciliation has occurred between Israel and Jehovah after the golden calf incident, through the mediator Moses, who's pointing us to Jesus Christ, and Christ who alone reconciles us truly to the Lord. Well, here our God gives proof of this by ordering Moses first to go up the mount again and receive the tables of the law again through verse 4. And Jehovah's meeting with Moses through verse 9 on the mount, where he manifests his glory before Moses as promised in the last chapter, and proclaims what it does there: the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And so Moses prays that the Lord would forgive Israel and show mercy to them, something that is right to pray for the Lord to do, just as he proclaimed himself to be such a God to his people. And then through verse 28, Jehovah establishes the covenant a second time, and this covenant renewal with the people of Israel to remind them of this covenant and his commands. And here, with the special emphasis upon the turning from having or worshiping any gods but the one and true God alone as he commands. And that it wouldn't be like in 2 Kings, they feared the Lord and served their own gods. And that's what Israel had just done in the last chapter. Jehovah is alone to be worshipped. And then the remainder of the chapter is commentary on the Moses' face shining, in which he veils his face before all but Jehovah. And this is brought to our memories again in 2 Corinthians 3, referring to the old covenant and comparing it with the new covenant under Jesus, showing the superiority of the new covenant. The old one having all fading glory, like Moses' face, the glory would fade. But the gospel is a permanent glory. Paul says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so we ought to turn to Jesus Christ and take heed of 2 Corinthians 4, the next chapter. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you praise today that you're a God who has given us the light of the knowledge of God in the face of your own Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the gospel. We're thankful for the good news of Jesus Christ, by which alone in Him we may be saved. And we're thankful that you're a God who loves us and who has eternally loved your people who believe on Christ. You've always loved us. And so how great is your mercy, abundant and unending. For even we receiving new mercies every morning, every time we awake, we still live, still have breath. And that is certainly a mercy. For because of our sins, we deserve the death and damnation in hell forever. And yet you show mercy every day. And Father, we're thankful for this good news. That if we call upon the name of Jesus, we shall be saved. We pray that you would forgive us of our sins. We are undeserving of your mercy. And so forgive us and pardon our iniquities. Just as Moses pled, so we plead in Christ, who also pleads that you would forgive us of our sins. And we know that you will forgive us if we are your children, if we turn from our sins and believe on Christ, your Son. And so receive us to your throne now as we worship you for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, for his glory. And beloved Father, we're thankful for the beloved saints here. Thankful for your good providence to us. And many being sick today, which is a good providence. And how we can, even every time we are sick or not feeling well, having great trials and testings, how we can not question you, but how we can exalt in your name and just simply thinking of how whatever we are going through, it is a good providence. It might be a dark providence, but it is a good providence. Because as we already prayed, you work all things together for our good. As you say in Romans 8:28. And it is a good providence that the many of our congregation are sick today. Even myself, that we would not depend upon our own strength. That we would not depend upon our own power and wisdom and everything about our lives and what we must do in our breath and our blood flowing, but that we rely completely upon you, the living and true God. And so in our weakness, show your strength by your grace. And pray that you would uphold your people by the Holy Spirit and heal bodies, as you are the God, even in Christ, who is the great physician, who heals not only bodies, but souls. And so heal our bodies and souls. We pray, I don't remember a time when this many people were sick in our congregation at the same time, but we do pray for all of them. I do ask that you would be, especially with Jesus, who's in the hospital. Pray that you would grant him greater ease of breathing and healing in his lungs, and that he'd be released quickly, even before the 2 days. And Father, we know that you're able to do so, if that be your will. Pray that you would cause him to trust in you and not himself. Father, we ask that you would be with Jake and Marissa and Elijah and Wendolyn in the womb. You would grant healing to them as well. Pray that you be with Russ and Deanne and Jeannie and Oliver and Ezekiel and Dave and Jeff Yelton and his wife Sue and Arian and Levi and Boaz and Michelle and Jeannie. Be with all these and any others who might be sick, Father, and yet these are the ones who have let me know that they're sick. Of course you know. And so, Father, we pray that you would watch over your people and strengthen all of us, not only in soul but body, that we might serve you with great zeal for the gospel going forward to the ends of the earth. We pray for your church, that you would uphold her, and that we would proclaim together one Lord and one faith, the gospel. We pray that you would also be with the Westminster congregation as they have a congregational meeting Wednesday to hopefully call a pastor. And we've been praying for them. We pray that you would, of the two men that they're considering, that you would grant wisdom to them and bring the man that you've ordained there, and that he would be faithful and bold with the gospel and preaching with zeal and love for the saints. And we ask that you would be with us in our day of prayer and fasting, and this week as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, that in all these things you would bless us and build us up and encourage us, that you would heal our bodies and the rest of the congregation, that most of us would be able to make it, and especially on the Lord's Day, next Lord's Day, and ask that you would help us to examine our hearts, our minds, our wills, and our affections before you, and put them before the standard of your word and Jesus Christ, and that we would look to your Son, Jesus Christ, who was crucified and rose from the dead, and now seated at your right hand. And Father, do pray especially for Michelle, as baby is due soon, even while she's sick. We pray that you would grant her strength and that she would be healed completely before the labor begins, that she might be helped in that. That you would strengthen her for the labor, and yet reminded every time the a woman gives birth, the travail that she goes through, which is the consequence of the fall. And pray that the gospel would be remembered, that Jesus Christ is her only hope and Oscar's, and that you would bless that family with a healthy child who loves you. And we pray that most of all, that you would turn that heart of that baby in the womb to you in Christ your Son. And then, Father, we pray for our congregation here, that you would sanctify us especially, again, as we've already been praying, that you would especially sanctify us this week. You have given us two, in a sense, two extra means to spur us on in faith and love for Christ your Son, and for you to praise your name and live lives sacrificed for you and for your glory. And so, Father, use these means to build us up in faith, and grant us in these your grace, if it be your will. And, Father, we ask that your name would be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.